I know, AV, y'all, it's hard to follow me, and just pray for me, AV. I'm going to go ahead and do my scriptures and then the video. Would you all please stand with me and find the book of Judges? We're looking at some Old Testament character sketches. We're looking at the Old Testament during this series to make sure that, we pick some folk we can identify with. And I'm pretty confident we can identify with our character for today. We're going to look at right now, let's look at Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14, we'll do verses 1 through 7 in your standing now. Judges chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. I know that Old Testament is tricky. I know it's tricky. My new Bible has tabs to help me. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with a good tab. All right, Judges chapter 14. Those that are found it, say, I've got it. Those still looking, say, Lord, help me. I heard it. I heard you. I'm going to start. Just catch on up. Amen. Can y'all hear me good? Praise the Lord. Listen as I read from the Christian Standard Bible. Samson went down to Timnah and saw a young Philistine woman there. He went back and told his father and his mother, I've seen a young Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as a wife. But his father and mother said to him, can't you find a young woman among your relatives or among any of our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines for a wife? But Samson told his father, get her for me. She's the right one for me. Now his father and mother did not know this was from the Lord, who wanted the Philistines to provide an opportunity for a confrontation. At that time, the Philistines were ruling Israel. Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Suddenly a young lion came roaring at him. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on him, and he tore the lion apart with his bare hands, as he might have torn a young goat. But he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. Verse 7, then he went and spoke to the woman because she seemed right to Samson. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
We're going to put a tag on this text, and we're going to teach and preach from the subject, love that hurts. Love that hurt. Yeah, some of y'all fell into your seat. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we love you and we thank you and we need you this hour. As a matter of fact, we have to trust you in the midst of our relationships. So, Father, we ask right now that you would give us humility, openness, but most importantly, an understanding of your scriptures so that you'll be glorified in all that we say and do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. Somebody say, love.
Love.
That hurts. Thank you so much, ushers. We're going to jump right into it. Our message moment says this. Come on in, worshipers. Come on in. Our message moment says this, and I want you to be sure to read this along with me so that you'll get it crystal clear. Relationships are most difficult when we operate without wisdom, humility, and holiness. I'll repeat that. You're just catching up. I get it. Relationships are most difficult when we operate without wisdom, humility, and holiness. Relationships. Love. C.S. Lewis has declared, to love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up, your heart that is, safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable. And as you listen to the words of C.S. Lewis, you'd be hard-pressed not to allow your mind to go back down memory lane. Love that hurts. See, I've discovered that love that hurts can be being hurt by others, but love that hurts can also be hurting others. See, I'm convinced we all have a one-dimensional perspective on our relationships. We only see what we want to see. I need a witness already. And while we can find fault in the other individuals 99.9% of the time, rare do we ever take the time to examine our own part in the part of breaking hearts. Y'all help me preach this. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you've broken a heart or two yourself. Some of y'all didn't turn. Some of y'all didn't turn. Neighbor, you've broken a heart or two yourself. Some of y'all still ain't turned. Neighbor, you have broken a heart or two. I got my white pants on again. It's 1 week after Labor Day. I'm not going to wear them anymore after this. This is it. My last white, yeah. We all live, get ready to write, we all live with relationship regrets. Every single one of us. We all live with relationship regrets. And what is so amazing is it doesn't matter if you've been married or if you're single, if you're divorced, widowed, it doesn't matter. We all live with relationship regrets. It is a part that C.S. Lewis talked about. To love is to be vulnerable. So for those of us who have taken that plunge, that step, that leap off the building to experience love, you have some relationship regrets. But the challenge, beloved, is not to allow those regrets to haunt you for the rest of your life. Y'all ain't talking back to me this morning. Hope y'all ain't mad at me for the topic, but we got to understand that every person under the sound of my voice lives with relationship regrets. The people we've hurt, the people who have hurt us, unfulfilled dreams, unrequited love. Every single one of us can testify that love can be elusive. Life can be disappointing. So when we are tempted to discount love as our current culture loves to do, to cast love or the hope therein aside, remember, beloved, that God's love is perfect despite what we do with it. Oh, I need a witness up in here. God's love is perfect. That's why in Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 8, it says, but God demonstrated his love in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Y'all, that's what love looks like. Love is sacrificial. Love gives. Love always seeks the best of the object of its affection. So please, please don't allow your regrets to cancel out your destiny. Don't allow your past mistakes and mishaps to dictate what the Lord can do in your future. But it's a love that hurts So on today, we're looking at a character. We call these character sketches. Today's character is my brother Samson. And I don't seek to assume that you know the story of Samson. So I'm going to take just a few moments to paint a backdrop on this powerful young man, the mighty warrior. Samson's life can be characterized as tragedy. See, due to the significant investment but minimal return on Samson's life. See, a whole lot was invested in his life, but not a lot of return was redeemed from that investment. We see in chapter 13, verses 4 and 5, that God grew him. Look at chapter 13, flip back one in verses 4 and 5. It says, now please be careful. Let me just go back to verse 1. The Israelites again did what was evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Philistines for 40 years. There was a certain man from Zorah, from the family of Dan, whose name was Manoah. His wife was unable to conceive and had no children. The angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, it is true that you are unable to conceive and have no children, but you will conceive and give birth to a son. Verse 4. Now please be careful not to drink wine or beer or to eat anything unclean, for indeed you will conceive and give birth to a son. You must never cut his hair, because the boy will be a Nazarite to God from birth, and he will begin to save Israel from the power of the Philistines. God grew him. The Lord took a barren woman and supernaturally set him apart for his own use. See, Samson was not born for Samson. Samson was born for the Lord's use and to make a difference in the lives of the people of Israel who had been subjected to a heavy hand under the Philistines. Are you with me so far? His very name, the very name Samson, means, watch this, little son or strong one. In other words, he was born to begin. The verse says clearly, he was born to begin the new dispensation for the people of Israel to set them free. So the deliverance of Israel from the bondage of the Philistines rested on Samson. Samson was anointed and appointed. Look at verse 24 and 25, chapter 13. So the woman gave birth to a son and named him Samson. The boy grew and the Lord blessed him. Here's verse 25. The spirit of the Lord began to stir him in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtol. So we see God grew him. But not only that, Samson, he had parents who loved him. See, his parents followed the rules to the letter of his birth and his rearing. They were faithful to the instruction that the Lord had given them through the angel of the Lord. They were present during his maturation process. His parents were present. Watch this. And his God was present. A whole lot was invested. One commentator says this: Samson had every advantage as a boy. His birth was predicted by an angel. He had godly parents who loved him greatly. He was uniquely dedicated to God as a Nazarite, and he experienced the power of God's Spirit as a young man. Despite all of these favorable factors, Samson's life, as it unfolds in the next three chapters, is marked by tragedy. Which leads me back to our opening message moment. Relationships are most difficult when we operate without wisdom, humility, and holiness. And I know what you think. Well, Pastor Brown, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Trying to keep y'all awake here. Amen. But it is. And we're not talking about perfection. We're talking about submitting ourselves to the authority of the Word of God, being led by the Spirit of God, and not allowing culture to dictate how we live our lives. Relationships are most difficult when we operate without wisdom. So we look at Samson's choices. Our Samson is an unusual story about an impulsive young man seeking love and companionship. While he is empowered by the Spirit of God, his love pursuits place his calling in extreme jeopardy. Look at chapter 14, if you will. Chapter 14, verse 1. Samson went down to Timnah and saw a young Philistine woman there. Stop right there. He went down to Timnah and saw. Now, if you're underlining in your Bible, underline that word saw. I'm going to give you something. I broke this down, Samson's choices, since we all love these shows called The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. We have the first bachelorette. We have the first bachelorette. The first bachelorette, Samson chooses, watch this, appearance over substance. I need a witness up in here. Oh, man, that's some of y'all can go home right now. See, that's been the dictate of all your relationships. Appearance over substance. You make a decision about a relationship, Stephen Brown, purely based upon what you see. Oh, I like that by myself. And if he look good, don't nothing else matter. If she fine, I can deal with everything else. Oh, y'all got to help me preach this. See, this is going to get somebody delivered in their interpersonal relationships. I need a witness up in here. Samson chooses appearance over substance. I also call this lust over love. That's even more. Yeah, that brings it home. Lust over love. See, because you get a feeling when you see someone, that doesn't constitute love. As a matter of fact, it could be heartburn. Samson chose based upon what he saw, not based upon who she was. Ooh, help me, Holy Spirit. Now, brothers, I don't want you to get me wrong. Now, I understand that beauty engages the eye. I get that. Don't get me wrong. But if your sole basis for a relationship is based upon what you see, you've got a very thin relationship. Oh, now before you run out of here, Samson gets a pass. Because as the verse says in verse 4, look at it, it says, now his father and mother did not know this was from the Lord, who wanted the Philistines to provide an opportunity for a confrontation. Now, Samson gets a pass. As a matter of fact, we got to give him a pass for his whole life. We'll see in just a few more minutes. So he gets a pass. Because even in this unwise, impulsive, out of order decision that he makes, the text says the Lord was showing him what to do. Now, I need you to understand something. That's Samson. That ain't you. That ain't me. You ain't got that pass now. I want to be clear. Because some of you are going to run out of here. Oh, I see something. Oh, I want it. Go get it. Let me get back. I'm not going to preach long. I promise. Get ready to write. Here is us, y'all. Get ready to write. We choose without wisdom or counsel. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me, Holy Spirit. We choose without wisdom or counsel. See, there's a reason. Oh, God, I got to wash my mouth. You don't bring that brother around your family. Folks, put your keys back in your purse. You ain't going nowhere. You ain't leaving yet. I know. There's a reason you don't bring her to church. Yeah. Because you know, as soon as one of your God-fearing, Bible-reading, Spirit-filled friends or relatives catches a whiff, they're going to be like, oh, no, he got to go. No, she got to go. Uh-uh. Don't even bring it over here. And so as a result, we isolate ourselves. Help me, Holy Spirit. Oh, God. Y'all, and this is men and women, we thrive upon visual stimulation. And so the enemy manipulates our vision to place us in compromising situations and relationships. Oh, maybe that was too heavy. Let me do it this way. See, there's some things we can't see because we're too close. And oftentimes, those who stand at a distance have a greater and better perspective. See, I've been a fool most of my life. Can I get a witness up in here? And allowing myself to be dictated by visual stimulation, never taking the time to dig a little deeper to see if there was a spiritual component that would match the external beauty. Ooh, God, help me, Holy Spirit. And so all of us can testify that we made some choices without wisdom or counsel. We didn't want to ask what our relatives thought because we already knew. You already knew. Come on, Ron, keep going. So here it is. If we don't learn from our scars, then we'll never be healed or delivered. See, the enemy convinces us that this is just who we are, that we simply cannot change, that we cannot be delivered, that there is no hope. And I need you to know that is a lie. I don't care if every relationship you've had to date has been ungodly, unwholesome, and out of order. There is still hope. See, what I need for you to do, Stephen, is to process your past and allow the Spirit to heal your wounds so that we can claim our future as Paul did in Philippians chapter 3. He says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I can't do nothing about my past, but I can do something about my present and my future. And Paul declared, I ain't going back. Y'all, these choices that we make, appearance over substance. And as a consequence, we have all these relationship regrets. So Samson, he told his parents what to do. Oh, there's so much just out of order. And he didn't listen to his parents, but the Spirit gives him a pass because he was seeking to establish an encounter with the Philistines. So the text goes on. He uses his wit and wisdom to confound the Philistines, but ultimately loses his bride to the best man. You got to read 14, 15, and 16 this week. Just read it. It'll blow your mind. But there are a few select verses I want to highlight in chapter 14 to kind of recapture Samson's activity. So he meets this young woman. He sees her. He tells his parents, go and get her. She comes and they gather together for the wedding. There's some dudes that come along. And Samson begins to kind of taunt them with his wisdom, his sarcasm, his sense of humor. And he gives them what they call Samson's riddle. We're not going to get into the riddle, but the point is this. There was a bet connected to the riddle. And the guys would never have guessed the riddle that Samson came up with. So they go to his bride, his significant other, and they threaten her. And she's motivated by fear. We see in these verses 16 through 18, it says, so Samson's wife came to him weeping and saying, you hate me. And you don't love me. You told my people the riddle, but haven't explained it to me. Look, he said, I haven't even explained it to my father or my mother, so why should I explain it to you? Verse 17, so she wept the whole 7 days of the feast. And at last, on the seventh day, he explained it to her because she had nagged him so much. That's a whole nother sermon right there. For the first time, some of my brothers are listening. What did he say? Then she explained it to her people. On the seventh day before sunset, the men of the city came to him. So a lot went on, and Samson, he rebuked her and him, and some bad stuff began to happen, and Samson goes down and does some other stuff. But the bottom line is this. He chose appearance over substance. And so often we do the same thing. We choose our relationships. Some of us, oh God, thank you, Holy Spirit. Some of us don't even like to be friends with people. Y'all hear me? I'm not talking romantic. Some of us have this friendship superficial criteria. That they gotta have this, they gotta have that, just to be a friend. Appearance over substance. Let's keep it going. That's bachelorette number one. Help me, Holy Spirit. Now we're gonna skip over chapter 15. Samson, we don't know all that Samson is doing, but he is judge, he is ruling. Chapter 15, verse 20 said he rules for 20 years. He is judge over Israel. He is still single though. My God, a single judge, that's major. So we make our way to chapter 16, my God. Let's continue reading. Chapter 16, flip on over. Samson went to Gaza where he saw a prostitute. I know. and he went to bed with her. When the Gazites heard that Samson was there, they surrounded the place and waited in ambush for him all that night at the city gate. They kept quiet all night, saying, "Let's wait until dawn, then we will kill him." But Samson stayed in bed only until midnight. Then he got up, took hold of the doors of the city gate along with the two gate posts, and pulled them out, bar and all. That man was strong. He put them on his shoulders. And then took them to the top of the mountain overlooking Hebron. So bachelorette number one, appearance over substance. Bachelorette number two, Samson chooses pleasure over principle. Not the pleasure principle. Stay with me, Janet Jackson fans. Pleasure over principle. He sought to satisfy a legitimate need through illegitimate means. Y'all stay with me here. We don't talk about this enough. We let it kind of gloss over. But look at your neighbor and say, holiness is still right. They didn't hear you. Say it again. Holiness is still right. Samson clearly had a weakness for women. But what I infuse into the text is it really wasn't necessarily women. He was battling loneliness. And if we're honest with ourselves, this is something that a lot of us struggle with. Pleasure over principle. Here's the second principle. I want you to catch this. We engage in activities that endanger our future. We engage in activities that endanger our future. Now notice in the text, there's never any rebuke for Samson's activities. It is simply stated. It's not approved or co-signed. It's just stated. But we already know that laying with a prostitute is out of order. Y'all stay with me. And so essentially, we have Samson allowing himself to step out of God's order and consequently endanger and jeopardize his very future. See, the fact that he was even in Gaza as an Israelite, because that's Philistine territory. So he continues to hang out in places, help me, Lord, that he ain't got no business hanging out. He's going to places that don't mean him any good. See, here's the thing. When you continue to go to places that are bad for you, you increase the likelihood of something bad happening to you. And you can't play the victim if you keep going to places. I need a witness up in here. You can't say, I fail. No, you ain't fail. You stepped in. We engage in activities that endanger our future. Here's 2018. Whatever the crowd applauds is likely against what God applauds. Whatever the crowd applauds is likely against what God applauds. See, the enemy has us convinced that past mistakes, watch this, equal present or future mistakes. So we stay in the same path. Let's just keep it real. Whatever mistakes you made as a teenager, as a young adult, as a mature adult, you do not have to keep making. I'm talking to married, single, divorced, and widows. And so we seem to believe that since I've already gotten this thing messed up, ain't no use of me trying to fix it now. And we completely, stay with me, y'all, we completely devalue the power of redemption. So this brother here, verse 1 says he just went into bed with her. And I made my way to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15. I hope I don't have to read all this, but I may read some of it. Beginning at verse, I don't know what verse this is. This is, don't you know that your bodies are part of Christ's body? 1 Corinthians 6. So should I take a part of Christ's body and make it a part of a prostitute? Absolutely not. Verse 16, don't you know that anyone joined to a prostitute is one body with her? For the scripture says the two will become one flesh, but anyone joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the person who is sexually immoral sins against his own body. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. So glorify God with your body. Child of God, you are not your own. The same God who saved you can deliver you from activities that endanger your future. The same God. And so let's keep it real, 100. We love to effeminize prostitutes, but there's some male prostitutes. I ain't got no eye contact today. And you don't necessarily have to exchange currency to have a relationship with a prostitute. Church. This is real. And I believe Paul addressed this to the church at Corinth because he was talking to believers. Because he understood the lure of temptation. Let's keep on. Let's keep going. So that was bachelorette number two. Not much is said about her except that, in chapter 16, verse 1. But then we get to our kind of landing part at 34 minutes in my sermon. That's okay. Look at verse 4 of chapter 16. Sometime later, still looking for love, he fell in love with a woman named Delilah. Chapter 16, verse, oh, y'all know Delilah. Oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember that in Vacation Bible School. Amen. Delilah, who lived in the Sorek Valley, the Philistine leaders went to her and said, persuade him to tell you where his great strength comes from so we can overpower him, tie him up, and make him helpless. Each of us will then give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me, where does your great strength come from? How could someone tie you up and make you helpless? In a very similar fashion, as we discovered in the first bachelorette, leaders come to Samson's significant other to gain access to Samson. But notice, they didn't want to kill him. They wanted to control him. They wanted what he had received from God. Now, I don't want to over-spiritualize or read too much into the text, but let me tell you something. I'm convinced that the enemy still uses this tactic when dealing with God's people. The enemy simply wants to make us look bad. So he tempts us with the world's ways and pornography and all sorts of sordid situations, and we allow ourselves to buy into it till we become desensitized to stuff that should offend us. Tried to watch BET the other day. I tried. Was unsuccessful. Wanted to see the story about Bobby Brown. Now, this is not a paid cable movie channel. But what I witnessed in the Bobby Brown biopic was pornography. This is BET. No special parent controls, just flipping through channels. And I just watched it celebrated. I hadn't seen it, just celebrated. And I'm like, Lord, what is happening to us? We've become so worldly. Where something that is so sordid, some of us maybe had our children watching it with us. Didn't even bother to cover their eyes when he was with two women at one time. Bachelorette number three. I call this one relationship over reason. Relationship over reason. Reason meaning it just didn't make no sense. Relationship. He wanted this relationship even though it didn't make sense. Over reason. Samson is in a relationship with someone who is seeking to steal what God gave him. Y'all better hear me what I'm saying. You're trying to figure out why they keep coming at you. Somebody say, and it's the same type of brother, the same type of sister, because the enemy know he ain't got to change nothing. He just hit the reset button. And you just receive it right on in. Come on in. And so in this situation, Delilah is trying to take God Almighty, what God gave Samson. Here it is. Last one of our blanks. We enter into one-sided relationships that compromise our faith. Oh, teach, Pastor Brown. We ain't shouting, but we getting it. We enter into one-sided relationships that compromise our faith. See, I say one-sided because I'm convinced that Samson loved Delilah, but I'm not convinced that Delilah loved Samson. Oh, y'all better help me up in here. Oh, y'all better help me up in here. See, that's not love, what Delilah was doing. One-sided. Yet many of us enter into these relationships, one-sided ones. Somebody say one-sided. One-sided. Making sure you're listening. We enter these relationships with folks often out of loneliness, which is you're desperate for companionship, or out of aloneness, which is you just don't like being by yourself. Oh, y'all ain't helping me preach this up in here. Loneliness, watch this, you're desperate for companionship, but aloneness means you just don't like being by yourself. So you'll take anything that's, well, I almost said something. Breathing. Yeah, you will. Of course, you ain't gonna bring him to church. We already talked about that in the first point. We'll never meet him or her. But these one-sided relationships, you're the only one that calls. Y'all ain't helping me up in here. Oh, I'm sorry. You're the only one that texts. You're the only one that slides into the DM. You're the only one. You make all the plans. You're always the first to say, I love you. Always. Always. And you may get, I love you too. I love you too. I love you too. I love you too. I gotta wrap this up. But let me add a few things before we get to the application. Here it is. You know you're in a one-sided relationship. To where if you don't, they won't. You can put anything else you can to complete that. If you don't call, y'all don't talk. If you don't text, y'all don't communicate. If you don't show the initiative, that's it. And brothers, I understand we're supposed to be the pursuers. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. But there's a difference between being a pursuer and being a stalker. Oh, man. I'm going to have a whole nother series to this whole thing. We're digging into this. Just stalking. You don't get a man time to call you back. Like I just got home. I just want to make sure you made it home all right. I live around the corner. Okay. What's that last one? We enter into one-sided relationships that compromise our faith. So Delilah is in a negotiation with the Philistine leaders, and they've asked her to find out where his strength lies. So they go through this back and forth for several little instances. He's toying with her, she says. But it is ironic, y'all. She's upset with him. Watch this. Because he won't tell her how to destroy him. Now that's some y'all missed that. That's some heavy stuff. See, this borders along of when we tell other folk that we are entering relationship with. Watch this. What makes us weak? But y'all ain't hearing me this morning. We tell them what make us weak, and then when they do the stuff that make us weak. Lord, why did I? Lord, why? Lord, why? Lord, I said it wasn't going to happen no more. Lord, please. We've given them the diagram to our weakness. And when they do it, oh God, I can't take it no more. Lord Jesus, please. I ain't got no help in here this morning. Oh, let's wrap this up. Let's wrap it up with Samson and Delilah. So she nagged him and nagged him and nagged him. Verse 16 of chapter 16. I'm sorry, I went too long. It says, because she nagged him day after day and pleaded with him until she wore him out. She wore him out with nagging. Get your mind right. He told her the whole truth and said to her, my hair has never been cut because I'm a Nazarite to God from birth. If I am shaved, my strength will leave me and I will become weak and be like any other man. When Delilah realized that he had told her the whole truth, she sent this message to the Philistine leaders. Come on one more time. For he has told me the whole truth. The Philistine leaders came to her and brought the silver with them. She had to get paid. Then, verse 19, she let him fall asleep on her lap and called a man to shave off the 7 braids on his head. In this way, she made him helpless and his strength left him. I don't know what y'all laughing about back there. They laughing good, though. Then she cried, Samson, the Philistines are here. Just fake. When he woke up from his sleep, he said, I will escape as I did before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord, I'm not even going to read it. Yes, I am. Had left him. Y'all ain't hearing me. Oh, God. He didn't know the Lord left him. Now, we're not going to get into the supernatural, or not the supernatural, but the theological ramification of Samson having salvation, losing salvation. That's not this discussion. This has to do with a special anointing or empowering that came for certain situations, okay? But understand this. Samson's destruction came from him being, here it is, mismatched. I like that by myself. He lost his judgeship, he lost his power from the Lord, and ultimately he lost his life. Y'all, he told her what to do. When she did it, he fooled himself. Ooh, y'all, this is some relationship stuff that's just so powerful. We get caught up, tied up, tangled up in these relationships. We talk about other folk and their relationship, and before we know it, we ourselves have gotten tangled up in the same stuff that we condemn somebody else for getting tangled up in, and we don't know it either. All right. Y'all done. All right, that's good. I got it. Application, 3 things and we're out. What have you learned from Samson? Get ready to write. Trust the people God gave you. Trust the people God gave you. Stop operating in isolation. All that is you're trying to allow yourselves to get away with something that you know God doesn't want for your life because it's not what's best for you. Trust the people God gave you. Everybody ain't hating on you. Everybody ain't jealous. Everybody don't want what you got. They just love you enough to tell you the truth. They may not say it in love, but they tell you the truth. And it's up to you to listen. Somebody say trust. Secondly, listen to God's word over your feelings. I know those feelings are strong. I know, oh Lord, she just makes me feel right. She just does it for me. I can't sleep. I can't eat. But what does the word say about her? Or you, for that matter? Trust. Listen. Though when y'all don't get mad, but it's okay. Wait. I know. Wait on God's timing in all things. I'm finished. Way too long. Somebody say wait. Wait. I know what you're thinking. Pastor, I've been waiting. I'm tired of waiting. I'm sick of waiting. Friend, why said, I'm waiting. I'm tired of waiting. I don't want to wait no more. Let me tell you something. Waiting is not passive. Because while you're waiting, you're taking care of business. You're working on you. You're making yourself the best for whomever the Lord will bring into your life. You waiting, But you waiting in faith. You ain't worried. You ain't stressing. There's going to be some dark nights. Amen. There's going to be some difficult days. You got to go some places and feel awkward. But you waiting. Watch this. Because you understand the value of God's timing. Samson shows you what happens when you don't wait. I'm done. My close is this. I listen to scriptures with my kids sometimes. I was listening to Judges while I had Nicholas in the car. Amazing thing happened while I'm riding with my son. So we're listening to this story in Judges. We're going through it. I kept rewinding it and playing it again, just kind of listen to it, just trying to soak it up to make sure I had a handle on the text. So as we listened, I noticed Nicholas began to tune in. After the scriptures that concluded and I went to something else, Nicholas said, "Dad, can I ask you a question?" I said, "Absolutely, son." We just listened to Samson and Delilah. He said, I'll ask you a question. He says, "Why would a person that loves you want you to be helpless?" I'm done. That's it right there. Nicholas, 10 years old, said, "Dad, why would a person that loves you want you to be helpless?" See, so many of us have allowed ourselves to get caught up in these situations with these individuals that mean us no good, and we have a complete incorrect definition of what love is all about. The word of God said love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, love is not boastful, it is not arrogant, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not irritable, it does not keep a record of wrongdoings. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. So that ain't love. Love that hurts. Heads about, eyes are closed. Father, we thank you. You're all right, Lord. You're all right. You fair, but you, it's rough, but you're fair. And Father, we receive it in the name of Jesus. Ah, Father, many of our hearts are just heavy right now because we see ourselves so much in Samson's narrative. And Father, we don't want to see ourselves anymore. We want to break free. So Father, we thank you that through Christ, we can experience freedom. Now Lord, some of these scars will be there. Help us to be grateful for our scars because they show us how you can heal, how you can mend, how you can comfort. Father, I pray for that brother under the sound of my voice. This is an area of struggle. Married, single, divorced, widow, it doesn't matter. I lift these men up to you right now, Father. The enemy is so committed to destroying the witness of our men. And the same thing they want to do to Samson, Lord. They just want to make us look bad. So, Father, I pray that you would gather up a village around these men, these husbands and fathers, these single men, these divorced men. Just put a village around them, a hedge of protection, if you will, to help us navigate these relationships. Father, I lift up these women to you that you would grant them a sense of peace and purpose and fulfillment, Lord God, that they can spot a creep when they see one. And even if they can't spot a creep, they would have some wise women in their corner that can identify, yep, he's a creep. Father, help us to encourage each other. But finally, Father, we thank you for the struggles of Samson. We see ourselves in him. So we don't mock him. We learn from him. And Father, we even understand that he was operating according to your plan. And we don't have to always understand your plans. Father, help us to make wiser choices. Help us not to enter into relationships that compromise our faith. Father, help us in the name of Jesus to be patient and to wait on what you have for us. We love you, we thank you, we glorify you. In the name of Jesus, let everybody say amen.